Please stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Business Process Management and the Foundational Tooling. Today's conference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how IBM tools can help you resolve business issues and start down the road to BPM. One final note, today's call will be recorded. Our speaker for today's teleconference is Joe Kaczmarek, Worldwide Sales Leader, WebSphere Process Servicer. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to our speaker today, Mr. Joe Kaczmarek.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, and good day, everyone, and welcome to today's session, where we're going to talk about business process management and the foundational tooling that we have within WebSphere in order to realize business process management for our customers. So if you turn to slide two, there are three key agenda items that we're going to be looking at today. First is, what is business process management and what does it mean to our customers? And secondly, what IBM tooling is available to support initiatives that our customers have around business process management? And lastly, and very important, particularly for this audience, is why would we want to deploy business process management solutions on System Z? The value proposition there is indeed quite strong, and so we do want to spend a little bit of time just reiterating why Z is a great platform for business process management. So for the balance of the presentation, I'm going to use our favorite acronym, BPM, for business process management. We are, after all, IBM, a company that has defined itself by a TLA, which is a three-letter acronym. And, of course, we like to use three-letter acronyms throughout our business culture, so I'll just refer to business process management as BPM. And now if you would please turn to slide four. Here on slide four, we're talking about how the business landscape for our customers is really constantly changing. There are all kinds of factors ranging from the globalization of our economies to rapid changes in technology to the use of the Internet as a key means of conducting electronic commerce. A lot of factors that are really forcing CEOs to change the way that they look at their business strategically. And one of the important factors that's becoming increasingly an imperative for our CXOs, and particularly with CEOs, is the ability to innovate, and to innovate faster than their competitors innovate and faster than the pace of the industry. Indeed, that's our new mantra within IBM. You've probably noticed most of our advertising that we've been doing lately revolves around innovation that matters. And so, truly, for CEOs, this is an area where innovation plays a key role. So they're looking at the ability to extend and collaborate outside their enterprise as well as inside the enterprise. This, in turn, is helping to drive additional innovation around business models and innovation around process. Now, you're probably familiar with the terms business process reengineering that was very popular, driven by a fellow by the name of Hammer, in the late 90s and into the early 2000s. And indeed, business process reengineering is still an important aspect of doing business today, albeit the flavor by which we do it and the technology that we use is changed. And CEOs are also concerned about leveraging information that they have both inside and outside of their enterprise to help optimize their business, to help them integrate globally, and to create agile business processes. Now, a lot of this sounds like pie in the sky, but in a few slides, we're going to get down to how this actually translates into imperatives for CEOs. So overall, CEOs are expecting fundamental change in the next 2 years. We did a survey and found that 87% or so of them are really expecting dramatic changes within their business and over the next 2 years. And most, here roughly 78%, also believe that innovation is dual-sided, that it requires both investment in business imperatives as well as an investment in technology. So if you turn to slide five, this all translates into the priorities that CIOs have within their organizations. The first slide, slide five, deals with their IT management priorities for the year ahead. And the text that is highlighted in red illustrates those areas where BPM can or should play a very front and center role in helping an IT organization achieve these particular priorities. So aligning with IT, aligning rather IT and business goals, the ability to have process improvement that is enabled by IT, improving internal user satisfaction with their applications and systems, reducing IT costs with all the budget pressures that most IT organizations have year after year, the ability to comply with ever-changing regulations, both from governments as well as from industry and trade organizations, the ability to help create revenue-generating services and products is increasingly dependent upon IT, not only for potentially the product itself, but also for all the support processes that go on around the introduction of new products, such as support processes, warranty processes, return practices, and so on. And finally, IT governance. So that you can see from slide five, there are a wide range of IT priorities that are on the management side that are very important for your customers. So roughly, you know, half of what you see on this slide is centered around BPM in one way, shape, or form. If you turn to slide six, you'll see that there are additional technology priorities based on this CIO survey that was done by CXO Media. And here we have things like integrating or enhancing existing systems and processes, ensuring that there's adequate security and integrity of not only data but also processes, extending the reach and the capabilities of their business intelligence applications, driving customer service levels to new heights, introducing new products and service capabilities, service-oriented architecture initiatives that they may have within the organization that may be centered around perhaps some enterprise architecture initiative as well as traditional areas where process management has played front and center, such as e-commerce and supply chain automation and visibility. So you can see from these two slides, these are just some of the areas, just from an IT perspective, that BPM can play a role. There are additionally dozens of other areas on the business side where BPM plays a vital role, and we'll get to those in a minute. On slide seven, BPM is really about taking a holistic approach to innovating within an industry and to optimizing a particular business or a business area. And so there are three views that we typically like to use of the way that a company looks at how it can and should innovate. The first is the business view, and this, of course, relates to strategy and to value innovation in the context of global economic factors and macro industry kinds of trends and so on. And then down in the weeds is the IT view, which is what are the systems and the data and all the management that goes around supporting the growth of the business and the innovation that happens through business initiatives. And then there's a tier in the middle called the process view that really is the blend of those two views. So process views are both business-centric in that they serve the business and important business priorities, and they're IT-centric as well in that every process behind the scenes has some application or set of applications or data flows or queries or whatnot that support that process from an IT perspective. If you turn to slide eight, this is one of my favorite slides when I talk about the value of BPM, and particularly BPM enabled by SOA. If you look across the top in the green boxes where it says business objectives, these are the things that the CXOs typically focus on and that keep CXOs, particularly CEOs, awake at night. How do I innovate? How do I grow my top line? How do I achieve other strategic objectives such as operational excellence, perhaps the cost management or increasing market share, perhaps growing bottom line faster than my competitors and so on. So you have all these business objectives that are CXO related. On the bottom in the gray boxes are all of the IT assets that support those business objectives. And these are typically the application systems and the databases and so on that are used to support the business. And if you turn to slide nine, the challenge is that trying to connect the strategic objectives that you see across the top with the systems and the capabilities that I have going across the bottom can be a rather daunting task. As you, those of you who are familiar with enterprise architecture will know, or those of you familiar with process modeling will know, there is a lot of complexity around even defining what systems they are that are available out there for an enterprise, let alone how they interrelate. And so faced with very complex systems, complex processes, lots of interfaces between disparate applications. A large percentage of IT budget is spent on maintenance rather than on adding new capabilities through value-add investments. And so on slide 10, the IBM solution to this problem is to reduce the complexity of all those interfaces and the inability to tie all those disparate applications together through the use of service-oriented architecture. And so what you can see from this diagram is the concept of a service component. These are mined from the IT assets, the applications that you see at the bottom, and then encapsulated in some way so that they can be brought into the business process lifecycle and used to support the business in a more controlled, logical kind of fashion. And so on slide 11, then you can see then once we're able to encapsulate those components from the applications in a way that facilitates their use within a BPM lifecycle, within an SOA architecture, we can then integrate those into the business process management lifecycle and create business process flows that use those assets in a way that helps the business optimize and helps the business innovate. So business process management, then, is a discipline. So it's not really a technology per se, although, as you can see from the definition here, it combines business expertise and technology capabilities to accelerate process improvement and to facilitate business innovation. So as you recall earlier, we talked about this whole history of business process reengineering, and as we mentioned, that still occurs. And, in fact, we in the WebSphere brand still run workshops called business process improvement workshops that help our customers with their process reengineering initiatives. But now we apply this additional discipline called business process management on top of it that combines technology with the business expertise, with that process reengineering expertise, to accelerate this whole reengineering initiative and to facilitate business innovation. And through that, deliver faster results to the business. And so on the left side of the blue boxes that you see on the bottom, the expertise that facilitates BPM is, first of all, knowledge of the specific processes that your customers have, because without that, there's no way really to proceed with a business reengineering initiative, with a business process initiative. Secondly, industry methods and models. So within the industry at large, there is a lot of technique that's embodied in expertise that our customers and consultants within companies like IBM and so on have around the methods that can be used to re-engineer processes in an effective manner. And then lastly, business consulting expertise, because at the end of the day, when you look at the definition, this is all about facilitating business innovation, and it's really important to never let that fall from your immediate view, because this really is about facilitating innovation. And then on the right-hand side, you can see some of the technology that's enabling BPM, such as business services that can be built from the smaller building blocks that have been encapsulated, the IT assets that are encapsulated, so these can be combined to form business services, higher levels of abstraction that assist not only in SOA, but facilitate the BPM process as well. There are other technologies, such as tooling, to make all this possible and feasible. The ability to use rules to simplify the logic that connects the pieces together, the logic that runs processes. There are also servers and repositories and business dashboards and forms and so on that all make BPM possible for our customers. On slide 12 is not only a pretty nice little bit of time-lapse photography there on the right-hand side, but also a business view of what business process management can do for a company. And first and foremost, it's about creating new business value. This can be through increasing operational efficiency. It can be through some adjustment in a company's strategic mix. It can be through simply process management as a strategic advantage, as you can see in bullet two. BPM helps companies understand and change their operational processes quickly in response to new customer demands, in response to new regulatory compliances, in response to something in the business, in the external business environment from a competitor or economically that will make a company want to change the way that they run their business internally. Business process management also increases the agility and the flexibility of your business. By using technology to manage processes rather than people and rigid applications, that flexibility really yields to and promotes the agility of an organization. And lastly, BPM can help achieve process integrity. When we look at a lot of the processes that a company runs today, one of the key challenges is that, A, they're not completely repeatable. B, no one person really understands all of the processes that exist. And C, when you try to bring those together, you never really get concurrence. So process integrity is something that's very difficult to achieve in that kind of an environment. And by providing tooling and registration of all the key processes and having processes facilitated by or run in an automated fashion by technology, process integrity then becomes a reality for companies. On slide 13, this talks about the fact that BPM has a life cycle aspect to it, and there are three key components of this life cycle. The first is to design, model, and simulate. And so this is an upfront process whereby teams typically will take a look at the current processes and document those current processes in the form of a process model, and then design new processes around what is known about the current processes and their shortfalls. Typically, in between those two steps, there will be some simulation to understand what the bottlenecks are in the current processes and what could potentially be done when new processes are being designed. The second is to be able to automate those processes and the ability to change those rapidly once they're deployed into production, and then to sort of use this feedback loop to include the third component, which is monitoring, analysis, and optimization. So once I deploy these processes into production, I can understand, am I achieving the kinds of benefits that I thought I was going to achieve by changing my processes, by reengineering them? Am I getting the business results that I'm looking for from a new business initiative that I'm trying to deploy? Am I getting the kinds of cost savings that I thought I would get from a technology perspective by going to BPM technology? This life cycle then gets repeated, and so there's additional modeling, additional simulation that can be done once the revised processes have been deployed in the real-world environment. And so this is a very effective way to track and analyze and deliver on business results that you're looking for from a BPM initiative. And that's one of the things that makes it so attractive, is that it is somewhat self-documenting, if it's deployed properly, in terms of the value that it can deliver to the business. On slide 14, each of these eight boxes that you see on the middle and the left-hand side of the screen are called customer scenarios. And so we have a scenario, for example, in that upper left-hand block that's called end-to-end business process management. We have some other scenarios around customer service that's called 360-degree business view of the customer. There are regulatory compliance use cases, self-service capabilities, perhaps a business activity monitoring, or BAM, that provides visibility to the business of key business events and performance against key parameters that have been designated by the business as being important to the short and long-term success of the business. Partner collaboration is another popular scenario. Workflow or human task management, another area. And then, of course, business process analysis. And a particular customer initiative may be one of these scenarios, or it may be some combination of them. So you may have a 360-degree view of the customer initiative combined with visibility, business activity monitoring, partner collaboration, and human workflow. So these are not typically deployed in isolation, but they are a very good way of looking at where are the business process management initiatives within your customer environment. Now, it's important to point out at this point that a lot of the scenarios that you'll run across in your customer environment are what we call hidden BPM scenarios. So sometimes in your customer's IT budget, you'll see a line item for BPM infrastructure, or you'll see something around BPEL engine, perhaps. On the customer side, on the business side, rather, you may find line items that relate to process management, process improvement for customer service or something like that. But very often as well, you'll find BPM initiatives hidden deep within other key business initiatives, such as supply chain management or vendor managed inventory and so forth. And so when you're looking for a business process management opportunities, it's absolutely vital that you look beyond the obvious line items on the budget or the initiative list if you're on the business side, and really look into every initiative to see where business process management might be able to provide an advantage for your customer or for our IBM mission within the customer. So that should provide you with a basic overview of the concepts of BPM and how BPM can be used to solve business problems for our customer. If you turn now to slide 16, we're going to transition our discussion to some of the technology that we have to facilitate the development and deployment of BPM projects. So on slide 16, you can see that there are five pillars that make up business process management. The first is modeling and simulation, where we design and simulate business processes. The second is business activity monitoring, where we track the performance of those processes against key metrics for the business. The third is rules and process execution, where we can orchestrate our processes across applications and systems. The fourth is pre-built industry accelerators to help reduce time to deployment and time to market for BPM solutions. And the last is content-centric processing, which helps manage processes where the content can be used to actually drive the process. And so together, these five pillars make up our BPM platform. Now, you'll notice that behind these five pillars is a block called composite business applications. And so composite business applications are a way of building BPM capabilities from much smaller components and dynamically building those, linking those together at runtime to create dynamic applications. So we're going to talk a little bit about our technology that does that. But for now, the important thing is that we have five pillars and that we have composite business applications that can be used to leverage those five pillars. An alternative view of the capabilities for BPM can be found on slide 17. So here we look at the center of the diagram. You can see the things that you're used to in terms of the SOA components, the SOA activities of model, assemble, manage, and run. These translate into BPM capabilities called design, and the tool that we use for that is a tool called WebSphere Business Modeler. And so in that, business analysts and IT specialists get together to model business processes and to simulate changes to those processes. The second capability is called deploy, and we use a tool called WebSphere Integration Developer, affectionately referred to as WID, another important TLA in your arsenal. And so this is an easy-to-use tool that is used by the IT side of the house to take the models that are built within Modeler and to be able to integrate the IT assets and the data that's necessary to support the business processes that have been designed from a business perspective. And then there's an automate capability whereby the work that's done inside Integration Developer is deployed into a server environment that helps automate processes, that helps manage human workflows, and that helps bring together all the components that have been encapsulated through the processes that are done in WID into a service-oriented architecture environment. And so this is a very powerful set of technologies that helps customers deploy their processes in an automated way. Additionally, we provide value on top of that through a capability we call Optimize, which is done in the WebSphere Business Monitor product, and this gives you real-time visibility into process performance. So that's one advantage that, for example, our business monitor capabilities have over technology like business intelligence is that the optimization that's done is done in real time. So the intervention and the remedial action that can be taken based on that feedback is done with a minimum of delay. And so for mission-critical operations, for KPI performance, where real-time tracking and real-time response is important, a tool like Business Monitor becomes indispensable. And then lastly, there's a capability called Abstract. And this helps extend the BPM platform by providing a policy-driven approach for the dynamic assembly of processes at runtime. So what typically happens in a process is that those steps are defined up front and those steps become fixed, both in terms of sequence and in terms of mix. With Business Services Fabric, we have a whole new level of capability that lets the process be actually built and deployed, in essence remixed at runtime by the Fabric engine to deliver highly flexible processes that are driven by business policy and user context and so on. So a very powerful set of capabilities that we can have with a business service fabric. There are also three critical success factors that you can see on slide 18. So we call these manage change, respond quickly, and enhance efficiency. And in order to do that, you can see that there are three BPM capabilities, design, automate, and optimize. And so we're going to go into each of these in greater detail. So on slide 19, we're in the design capability, which is part of the manage change success factor. And so here you can find some detail on the business model or product. So that, again, modeler is used for business level modeling and simulation. And so it lets primarily business people develop models of both existing and to-be processes. Models can be imported from Visio. We also have hundreds of process templates that are available in both IFW and IAA format. You can define KPIs and all kinds of metrics inside the modeling tool, and then collaborate with other people using the technology through an ancillary product called Publishing Server. The key point here is that, look, you can model processes all day in tools like Visio, as well as you can in Modeler, but what Modeler gives you on top of Visio is the ability to simulate and to be able to predict the results of a change set of business processes before they're put into deployment, before all this effort is put into linking up the IT pieces and doing the integration and testing them and promoting into production. That's a big investment. And so by using Modeler, you can pretty much have a pretty good understanding of what the impact of the new process is going to be before it's ever deployed into production. And, of course, because it's integrated with WID and Process Server, there's a tight linkage between these tools that lets you have a clean handoff from an IT perspective. On slide 20, then, now we're going to talk about the next critical success factor, which is respond quickly, and we're going to talk about the automate capability. And so on slide 21, we talk about the concept of accelerated solution assembly. And so once the processes have been defined in Modeler, they need to be deployed into production. And, of course, that takes linking to existing IT assets. It takes some integration work. Perhaps there's some data transformation that needs to be done in support of the process. All this can be defined within WebSphere Integration Developer, which is a complete toolbox for the process automation process. And so there's an assembly editor in there that lets you link to existing IT assets. There's a BPEL editor, business rules editor, mediation flow editor. I should point out that WID provides tooling not only for Process Server, but also for the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, or here's a four-letter acronym, WESBE, as we call it. So WID provides the ability to define and modify mediation flows that are used in the bus part of the solution. It's Eclipse-based, so it's easy to learn and use. And, of course, it can be integrated with other Eclipse-based technologies. And the WID tooling, as well as our Process Server, support several important industry standards that are critical for a service-oriented architecture environment. The first is a component encapsulation standard called Service Component Architecture, or SCA, and that lets you take existing assets, put a wrapper around them, and define them inside the WID tooling and inside Process Server and also ultimately onto a tool like WebSphere Service Registry and Repository and register those components there. So this is our component architecture standard that we deploy inside our WebSphere BPM solutions. The second encapsulation standard is called Service Data Objects. This does for data transformations and data packets, so message packet definitions and message access paradigms and things like that, what service component architecture does for traditional IT application programming assets. And so this helps encapsulate and abstract data access, data movement, data transformation. And so this gives you a clear separation of concerns between the process side of the house, which can be defined in BPEL flows, and the application side of the house, which can be defined through service component architecture, service data objects, and the common business object model that's actually deployed inside Process Server. On slide 22, you'll see a block diagram of Process Server, And so there are three major groupings of components within the process server architecture. The first at the bottom is what we call the SOA core. So as you learned earlier, this is where we define and encapsulate our existing IT assets through SCA and through Service Data Objects, SDO. There's also is a layer of common event infrastructure here, or CEI, that provides a means of monitoring common-based events that are emitted by various WebSphere products, as well as can be emitted by custom applications. So common-based events, common event infrastructure, is based on an existing web standard. These events come in the form of XML and are monitored by the engine and are very important for producing some very important business results, especially when real-time applications are imperative. The second layer is a layer called supporting services. And so the first component of this are mediation flows that are actually defined and operated by the WebSphere ESB or WESB. There are also interface maps that are part of these supporting services. You know, data needs to be transformed as it goes from process A to process B, or from application component A to application component B to make those application components compatible. Sometimes the APIs require a very different data structure than what the source data is. There are business object maps. You can define relationships. And, of course, dynamic service selection, which can actually be done through the mediation flow, is also another one of the supporting services. And then there are actually service components. So there's the business processes themselves that are executed in a BPEL engine. There's human task management, which can be managed by process server in conjunction with forms-based capabilities. For example, from Lotus, we can support Lotus Forms with process server. And there are business state machines that assist with long-running processes and making sure that those states are preserved as people or application components come in and out of that process. And lastly, a business rules engine, which helps simplify the whole process of choreography between processes. So as you can see, process server is a large stack. It contains a lot of capability. It's a powerful product. It's somewhat of a hybrid product because it's not just a BPM engine. It's also an SOA platform. It's also a business rules engine. And it's also an enterprise service bus. So a lot of capabilities built into process server. So there are many use cases that you'll find within your customer environments where you can and should be selling WebSphere process server. Some of the other capabilities you can see outlined on slide 23, here's a high-level overview of the encapsulation process that we talked about earlier that really enables SOA, the ability to take legacy Kix applications or Java apps or SAP services or perhaps business rules and encapsulate those within WID and deploy them on process server to realize the SOA environment, number one, and number two, to include these important applications and application components in the process flows that will be managed from a BPM perspective. Slide 24 talks about how BPEL works. So BPEL is a WS standard. And when we talk about processes, we talk about choreography. So the ability to mix and match processes from different IT environments, from different application areas to support a process or a set of processes that accomplishes a specific business objectives. It could be a mix of automated processes and human tasks and internal and external service providers. So you're not limited to just internal application or application components when you have BPEL-based processes. They can also be external processes as well. So these processes can be long-running. They can be straight through. Perhaps they're compensating transactions. We also talk about the concept of transaction handling because process server is built on WebSphere ESB, which is a bus. You also get transaction integrity capabilities, and therefore you can get process integrity capabilities when using process server as well. On slide 25, key point here is that for human tasks often involve the completion of forms. Rather than using applications to capture that data, you can use an XForms tool like Lotus Forms to embed and encapsulate all of that information in the form of XML that can be easily picked up by the bus component of process server, moved from process step to process step, moved to other applications, moved to external partners, and so on. So very important capability that we have within both modeler and process server, the ability to use Lotus Forms. Also, as I mentioned earlier on slide 26, business rules are an important component to simplify user interfaces and to simplify logic used to control the runtime environment of a process. And of course, Process Server provides a fairly comprehensive set of business rule capabilities for that purpose. Lastly, there is the whole issue of optimization. And so on slide 28, you can see how Business Monitor can be used to help achieve that optimization. And so we can, for example, create things like scorecards that contain key performance indicators. We can use portlets to set up collaboration with other internal, external teams to resolve the situations that are captured within the monitoring environment. We can also set up business alerts that a person can subscribe to, and these alerts can be role-based. They can be people-based. They can be process-based. We can also provide access to reports and certain kinds of analysis to show trends over time. And we can also integrate external information into this environment to show, for example, how a customer's performance might be against a particular industry standard or against a data feed that's provided by a customer to help improve the quality of the materials that they're maybe buying from your customer, for example. And so this can all be represented in a single portal kind of page, and makes for some very powerful, not only executive dashboards, but also management capabilities for anybody who's involved in either managing processes or executing processes. On slide 29, we talked a little bit earlier about the concept of improving agility through the use of business services, and we have a product called Fabric that actually can take the lower-level processes that are defined and encapsulated in Process Server, for example, on the bottom, let's say, three lines. So the bottom line in this, where it says SOA at the core BPM, the purple block there, is those are existing IT assets. The next level up are, for example, these can be SCA components or SDO components, and then the orange, the yellowish-green kind of block contains things that would be, for example, BPEL flows or consolidated flows. These can then be resolved and combined into higher level flows. And then at the top two blocks of the diagram, you can see we can take these components and build them dynamically into a process that's dynamically configured at runtime that is managed at runtime by Process Server, but configured and built dynamically in runtime by the Fabric product. So this is a fascinating concept, creates a real differentiator for us in the marketplace. On slide 30, we also have industry content packs for telco, banking, healthcare, and insurance that help accelerate the time to value for a Fabric customer. The final topic that we'd like to talk about is System Z and BPM. So on slide 32, I'm not going to teach this particular team much about how to sell System Z, but I will say this, that it's obvious when you talk to our customers that are Z customers and that are looking at process initiatives, they very often will ask, can and should I run this on my Z platform? Because they understand the value that Z can provide. They understand the importance of optimizing their existing skills and their existing computing assets. And they understand the world-class support and the incredible service levels that are possible and generally realized within their mainframes and mainframe environments. So customers that have Z certainly are interested when they have a BPM opportunity. Can I run my BPM program on the Z platform? The answer is a resounding yes. On slide 33, these are just some of the cost parameters. So you can see how server consolidation is continuing to be an important area to manage for companies because server proliferation is continuing. And so a mainframe customer would want to know, am I just going to contribute to this problem if I deploy BPM on a distributed platform? And so, as you know, and you can tell from this chart, the greatest cost is for people management. So even if you save some money on hardware by going to a distributed environment, the people management costs over time really contribute to a lower ROI than you would on a Z platform. On slide 34, and this is also important, is to continue reinforcing with your Z customers the fact that as they add more workload, as their capacity grows, their dollar per MIP actually goes down, their support cost goes down. So the more workload they can actually deploy on mainframes, the less dollars per unit of work it costs to support that. And that's not true of a distributed application. And so because BPM is so all-encompassing, and BPM also is typically, at least in the IBM flavor of it, is tied to SOA initiatives, this whole concept of taking your existing assets, which for our Z customers many times will include a large volume of legacy assets, and taking that and creating a highly integrated environment that can serve the business from a process standpoint. And so there are some important process integrity issues that are illustrated on slide 36. The first of these is proximity to the IT assets. So if you deploy BPM on Z and a large percentage of customers' existing IT assets are deployed on Z, you're closer to both the application and the data, which means you have fewer physical components that make up the solution from an infrastructure perspective. You have less network connections, and so you have less complexity, which means that there's less to break, but also there's less to manage, so you do get reduced costs. The second thing is integrity. Think about a customer deploying their processes in an automated fashion. They're going from a manual set of processes to an automated set of processes, or they're optimizing their processes, and so the whole thing is changing. And so the integrity of the execution of those transactions is pivotal, because nothing can put a bigger dent in an otherwise successful BPM implementation than having a loss of data or processes that have gone haywire for some perspective. And so the resource recovery, resource management, transaction management capabilities that are inherent in the Z platform contribute to the integrity value proposition that you can deliver for a BPM initiative. Again, highest possible qualities of service. Because BPM typically is involved with very mission-critical activities that are customer-facing or that involve the supply chain, which in turn affects the ability of an enterprise to deliver to its customers, having these high levels of service becomes even more important. So having the highest level of security that's possible really only on Z, the availability that's possible only on Z, and the overall efficiency, full utilization of system capacity, high levels of class of service, really bring down the total cost of computing, which means there's more money left for the business to optimize its processes, to take more of its existing business capabilities and bring those under the BPM umbrella. And so, as you know, we have a number of initiatives that help with this, first and foremost being the ZAP programs, the ability to take Java workloads under ZOS and have the special ZAP program for that, which really helps out from a cost perspective. We have the Z10 value proposition, which I think is going to play particularly well with BPM customers who typically will probably be buying a lot of BPM software for their initiatives. And so by having the much higher relative performance of Z10, this just really increases the overall ROI even further. So a lot of capability that we have forthcoming here with Z10 for BPM initiatives. On slide 37, your customers may be asking them, you know, why should we use IBM for BPM? There's a lot of other vendors out there. And so we are number one in BPMS market share, according to Gartner from their June 2007 study. And we have over 2,850 BPMS customers. Our depth of BPM expertise is really unparalleled. We have competency centers. We have, on this chart, lists 1,000 BPM consultant specialists. That number is now over 1,700. We have well close to 3,000 system integrators and reseller partners who are familiar with our BPM technology and can deliver projects and programs to our customers. We have close to 11,000, this number is probably now closer to 14,000, GBS, GTS practitioners who have BPM experience, and we have lots of training and education courses for customers, for IBM internal people, and for business partners. Secondly, the breadth of our BPM software. Not only is each tool best in class as an integration technology and as a tool, but no other vendor can match the complete spectrum of capability that we have from pure BPM capabilities to SOA to enterprise service buses to application adapters to data management technology to all the things that it takes to make a full BPM program successful. No other vendor offers the total package that IBM can provide with our software today. On slide 38 is another perspective on why IBM. So you've probably been to a number of the Smart SOA launch programs. And so this is really important that you continue to reinforce this message with our customers. We're the only vendor to really be able to deliver this end-to-end process capability that's built on both industry best practices and industry standards. We really pioneered the SOA space. We pioneered the concept of on-demand computing and what on-demand means from a business perspective, and that, of course, has continued through our initiatives in SOA. And, of course, investment protection. IBM is really well known throughout the industry for our ability to support our customers as we transition from product era to product era. And we continue to offer that investment protection for our customers. So we have lots of references in the BPM space, and we have a whole team focused on mining references from our existing customer set. And so these span industries, they span customer sizes. We have some Z customers in that reference spectrum as well. So please reach out to the reference database or to me if you're having trouble finding the right kinds of references that you need. Lastly, on slide 39, it's not too late either for you or, most importantly, for your customer to get to the 2008 Impact event. That's April 6th to 11th in Las Vegas. This promises to be the largest Impact event that we have to date, and the most sessions, the most attendees, the most exciting program. And so this really helps our customers get their arms around what Webster as a whole can do for them. But there's lots of sessions on BPM and our BPM technologies, BPM success stories, best practices, and so on. So this is a great place for your customer to get educated and also to network with the rest of the IBM team for both their planning and eventually their success in deployment. So that wraps up presentation for today. I hope that it's been informative for you, both in giving you an overview of what BPM is, some of the tooling that we have, and why it's important to sell BPM to your Z customers and to sell Z to our BPM prospects. So, again, I really appreciate everybody's time. At this point, I'd like to turn the call back over to the operator for any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Joe. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question one, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for one moment. For question two, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And once again, we'll pause. For question three, have you started a BPM project? If yes, press star 1. If no, but we plan to soon, press star 2. If no, and we don't have plans to do so, press star 3. And once again, we'll pause. question 4, were you already familiar with IBM's BPM tooling? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll pause one last time before our final question. And our final question today, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please simply press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. Once again, that is star 1, please. I'll turn the conference back over to Mr. Kaczmarek while we wait for questions.
Well, thank you, Sarah. And I really hope that everybody had a very informative session today. And it certainly was very pleasurable to be able to present this material to you, and I hope that we'll have the opportunity to work together on pursuing BPM and process automation opportunities together and to helping you sell more Z hardware and Z software.
There are no questions at this time, but I would like to remind our audience, star 1, please. And Mr. Kaczmarek, there are no questions.
Thank you, Sarah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. Have a great rest of your day.